Welcome. I'm your co-host Scott Patton, along with the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin. Last week was kind of a...
Somber.
Somber as was the word I was struggling to say. Yeah, somber episode. And I think this week, you know, I think last week was kind of like, okay, you know, here's the problem. We were talking specifically about autism and some impacts that certain vaccines have had. And this week, it's like no more time for somber. We got to get down to work. We got to take some action. Like, what are we going to do? What can we do? What should we do? What are our next steps, both to make sure that it doesn't happen to future generations and also to make sure it doesn't happen to us.
Right. So important. Okay, so what we saw last week, and I would definitely like to, those of you who are listening to this and have not gone to the website, Ian's Life, please do. You do need to understand. You do need to understand for your sake, for the sake of your children, and for the sake of the children of your loved ones, your friends, whoever you're with. You do need to understand.
And a picture is worth 1,000 words and 1,000,000 podcast episodes.
Yes. What's important is this. If someone tells you that autism is a diagnosis, they're wrong. Autism is a label. It's a state of being. And it's something that is changeable, reversible, undoable. Some of the changes, you know, the earlier you catch it, the better, because the sooner you make changes, the less developmental damage your child will suffer. But even when you are at fully developed 18 or 20-year-old adult, you can still make a load, big load, of very positive changes.
That's right. The body, no matter what, is an amazing thing, and it can heal itself if it's given the right nutrients and rest and environment and certainly time.
That's right. So what I would like to do is I would like to outline all the things that are possible, that you can and should consider and make changes with so that you... create as much of positive shift as possible. So we're going to start from the easy ones and go towards the more difficult ones at the end of the expose here.
Okay, so what would be the first step?
So the first step is if you know that your child is autistic, and that, again, could be anything from learning disabilities or unusual developmental delays, or, you know, you've been tested, and you finally have decided to Google something like alternative health for autism, and there you are on our website. The first thing you want to do is deal with the diet. Your child has had dramatic changes to the digestive system. Typically his, because most of these autistic children are boys. Small intestine has the wrong kind of culture, and that needs to be corrected. So the first thing we need to do is eliminate the things that make him sick. The most common are the proteins of wheat. It's called gluten. Gluten intolerance, that's been reaching the common consciousness for some time. Gluten is in wheat, barley, oats, and rye. So the most common grains, like porridge, pasta, pizza, you know, those sort of things. The other one is casein. Casein is the protein found in milk. Casein would be found in cheeses and anything milk. So some kids will tolerate butter, some will not.
So you're looking at butter, milk, cheese, yogurt, cottage cheese.
The works.
Ice cream.
Yes. Now here's an interesting thing. There are two types of casein, type A, type B. The one that cows make is known as the type A. goats, sheep, and humans make type B. Mm. So you may find that goat milk or sheep milk or human milk is quite tolerable, whereas cow's milk will not be. So that's the surface. The other parts might be that some other foods are intolerant or are not tolerated. The most common culprits are the tomato, potato, green pepper, red pepper, you know, the that family. Mm-hmm. They're known as the nightshades. And the other ones that's commonly a problem is corn. But what you may find is that a diet fairly high in proteins and in vegetables is going to work. So that's it.
And when we're talking protein, we're not talking about a really well-done steak.
Well, okay, we're going to just trip into the enzyme issues. You see, when you cook stuff, the enzymes are killed, so or inactivated. So when you undercook your steak, it's a really good idea.
There you go.
But please do not undercook your hamburger. The main reason why you're concerned about E. coli is that E. coli is on the surface of things. So if, for instance, you were taking a roast or a steak, the bacteria that you're concerned about would be on the surface. So when you singe the surface of the steak, you completely kill off the bacteria.
Because the bacteria is not inside the meat, it's on the outside of the meat.
It's the handling of the meat. And so, you know, when you butcher an animal, you possibly break open the intestine, you know, for somehow it just spills, and the feces of the animal or the urine of the animal is spilled all over the carcass. So it contaminates all the surfaces. So your roast, you know, when you roast your thing, you know, it's hot on the surface. The bacteria don't survive that. You don't have to worry about the inside of it. But what happens in a hamburger, that thing is ground. So you have surface on the inside.
Yes.
Because of the grinding. So that's why you need to cook hamburger all the way. You cannot do medium rare hamburgers. Just don't do it.
Okay.
Anyway, so then step two might be interesting. You may care, you might not care. You can get yourself some baseline data. You know, you can go and get yourself some tests. You know, environmental toxin screen and porphyrins and urine acids and, you know, just the sort of stuff. You can even go get a hair analysis. What you will find is that your child has high level of environmental toxins present, either in the urine or in the feces or sometimes in the hair. But that's been inconclusive because some of the kids are so toxic that their body doesn't even detoxify through hair. I mean, you know, your body will try and get rid of toxins by putting it into stuff that your body is throwing away. So the throwing away, like your urine or your feces or your sweat, but also your nails and your hair.
Oh, interesting.
So normally you would expect the hair to be toxic because that's where the body will push stuff to get rid of it. And that's why we would go to, you know, cut a piece of hair that's fresh, tight to the skull. Typically you go to the back of the neck where it's hidden by the longer hair and you snip off, a piece about the finger, size of your finger. And they'll send it off for analysis, and they'll send you back the chart, and it'll tell you, oh, you're too high in mercury. And you'll say, well, this is so strange. My child has never eaten deep ocean fish. How come he's rich in mercury? And the answer will be, well, it may have come from the mother. It may have come from a vaccination, from a jab, or it may have come from the atmosphere. If you live downwind from a coal-burning power plant, you have a good chance of getting a lot of mercury. 50,000 tons of mercury goes up into the air in the United States every year from the coal burning that makes our electricity.
Wow.
That's a lot of mercury.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would end up breathing in some of this.
That's correct. So if you live downwind from a coal-burning power plant, you may have your source there. Whew. Okay, so let's just go to dealing with the dietary deficiencies or nutritional deficiencies. Those are things that are typically lacking in a normal North American diet, and we need to cover for that because a damaged child needs loads of this. So we need to start with amino acids. I was already mentioning that nice protein food is good, you know, like steak or chicken. Well, let's not do fish because it's frequently contaminated.
Right.
But we have these amino acids, special formulation done by Dr. Vickery, that are formulated exactly the way they need to be formulated to help children with this condition. The other thing is folate. Folate is a derivative of folic acid. And folic is in foliage, is in leaves, is in dark green stuff. So folate can be concentrated, and it's usually available as a supplement, but you could also just do it naturally by pushing dark green stuff. That could be
kale.
Yeah, kale and that sort of thing. Kale, spinach, Swiss chard. Green smoothies of every sort. Collard greens, mustard greens, dandelion tops. But also chlorella, spirulina, blue-green algae. Those things are readily accessible and good. The next one, essential fatty acids, omega-3. That word has become popular, and people are noticing it. It's readily available in fish oils, and nearly as readily and at much lower cost available in plant oils such as hemp, flax, borage, primrose. You know, omega-3s, supplements of many sorts. We sell some, but that stuff is readily available. Minerals. Typically, serious deficiency in magnesium. That, again, that's a rampant American problem because
that's one we keep talking about too, isn't it?
Oh, we've talked about it many times. 80% of the American population is deficient to some degree, 60% significantly, 40% clinically. It's serious business. As in serious problem.
Right.
Selenium and zinc, those two are involved in helping the immune system to work correctly. Those are trace minerals that are needed to operate the immune system. So we need to upregulate the immune system. We have a couple of supplements. One is called Alkazone, the other one's called Delfood. Both of them will take care of this issue for you if you're looking to get it from us. Those are really important. They cannot be bought in a simple one-a-day Centrum. Okay, don't try and supplement it from a drugstore or a grocery store supplement. It's just not going to be good enough.
So when it comes to the minerals, we're looking at getting more magnesium. And as we've said before, it's not something you want to take orally. The best way to do it is in a magnesium salt bath. And then selenium, lithium, and zinc.
Right. Yeah, lithium especially, you know, we have a multi-mineral with lithium in it, so if that's an issue. Lithium is the mineral that's associated with manic and depressive mental states. It helps regulate the brain. So that's also...
Autism, you have a problem with the brain, right?
Yes, you have a problem with the brain. Yes, things are not working right. And then the other side of this is to upregulate the damaged detoxification pathways. Or in English, we need to help you detox. We need to help you get rid of the wrong stuff. One of the best ways to do that is supplementing glutathione. which is a universal recycler of the of all the antioxidants. You know, like when your vitamin C interacts with an oxidating agent, it gives away the electron to the oxidating agent, but then the vitamin C itself is now lacking the electron, so now it is a oxidating agent itself and needs to go back to the home base to get recycled. And it's in the care of glutathione that this all happens. Glutathione is sort of like the masseuse that puts the football player back together so he can get back on the field again. Kind of nice image, huh?
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
So we have some mineral supplements that help with the glutathione. If you want to get it from us, we can help you. But you need to understand. You know, you can supplement a lot of the antioxidants. We have that as well. But you also need to help with the recycling of them. So then, the next thing is getting into the more difficult bits, and that's dealing with the bowel function. Autistic kids are notoriously in trouble with their digestive system. And we need to find some way to help them. So typically they are constipated. If we supplement them with magnesium, a lot of that gets relieved. And we can also supplement them with lots of water. You know, we need to get good hydration going, and we can add fiber. So, you know, we have been in superfood business for a good while, so it's very easy for us to make suggestions. You know, in the Exela superfood line, there are several things that will help you with dealing with the constipation quite nicely.
Give us an example of one.
Strataflora by Exela, or Floracol by Generation Plus. Both of these are, they're a combination of many things. We need to have a soy-based organism, probiotic set, prebiotic set, I don't know. I don't want to spend too much time on it. We have been over that territory in the past, and just suffice to say, under probiotics on the Life Enthusiast website, there's plenty of information there. The next one is improve the digestion. So we need to move up the up into the stomach. You need enzymes. If you're feeding your child with cooked foods, you have to have digestive enzymes added to it, or else the body's just not keeping up. Again, we have at least 7 different ones to choose from simple to more complex to really good to as good as it gets. So, of course, you know, the as good as it gets cost more than basics, but depending, again, you know, these things are comically inexpensive. I was watching a television program where this family was arguing and suing the health care system to get a $60,000 per year occupational therapy budget for their autistic child.
Wow.
That's $5,000 a month in occupational therapy intervention. And that's quite common. And you know, the father of this child was a well-paid, you know, executive type who was making $250,000 a year, but wasn't able to work. He ended up losing the job, or you know, having to retire from it, or cut back to part-time or whatever. And the mother was staying with the child full-time. So anyway, they were losing megabucks on top of the. That's why they were fighting for the program. They wanted the insurance company to fund for them. Anyway, so to put it in perspective, the care program that we're proposing is in $200 to $300 a month at most of what we're proposing here.
That really puts it into perspective.
For sure.
You know, and if it has an amazing impact on your child, why wouldn't you want to do that?
Well, for some people, $200 or $300 a month is an insurmountable amount of money. And I want to be respectful of that. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the system, again, will more likely pay $50,000 a year for an occupational therapist than it will pay $4,000 a year for supplements.
Right.
But anyway, so digest, definitely get the enzymes and then work on the long-term issues of the bowel. So that would mean restoring the flora. I mentioned the Strataflora. That probably is the best stool there is. In fact, it can not only look after the restoring of the living creatures, it can also look after removing the unwanted creatures, you know, parasites, toxic bacteria. And as you improve the terrain, you will start overcoming or overwhelming the yeast overgrowth that is so typical for the damaged colon or the damaged digestive system of these autistic people. So that's pretty much that, the digestive system. It deserves a lot of attention. Things that kill it, things that damage it, are chlorinated water. You know, people, please do not drink chlorinated water. Chlorine is put in the water to kill bacteria. It will kill bacteria in your gut, and it will be more effective killing the fragile beneficial than the weed that's growing in there.
That's right. It's a great way to get rid of all the good bacteria in your stomach.
Yeah, that's right. Drink chlorinated water and shower in it. I would really advocate for chlorine removing shower filters. You know, if you have that issue in your house, meaning autism, definitely get rid of all chlorine by all ways you can. So here goes to the next one. So we need to now deal with viruses. You know, and a damaged immune system has susceptibility to virus. Now, in the medical world, they don't really have anything for viruses. You need to understand that antibiotics do not have any effect on viruses. So the kind of methodologies that we have had success with is colloidal silver and in some plants like olive leaf extracts or lorem. Those things are added into the Exula superfoods. So automatically, if you are taking the Exula superfoods, we are using olivera, which is the concentrate from the leaves of the olive tree. Very effective. And also we use the concentrated oregano, which is also quite popular in health food stores. You will find oregano extract. You could also try dealing with it using tea tree. That's quite common too.
Cool. Yeah, tea tree oil is very, very good for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it helps with coughs and lung infections or upper respiratory tract infections. Although I would recommend that you study up on homeopathy. Homeopathics are exceedingly effective at dealing with things like the influenza or the stomach upsets or intestinal upsets and the likes. And it's not very complex to learn, and it's a very inexpensive way of dealing with stuff. I know that when my wife and I were raising our young family, our kids, of course, had the same interactions with other kids. You know, they crawl on the floor, they slobber all over toys, they stick everything in their mouth. So they were building their immune systems as nature designed it. But they were coming down with all kinds of aches, pains, and fevers, and so on. So we bought the compendium. You know, it's about a 400-page book. And it behaves a lot like a dictionary. You essentially look up the symptoms in it, and with each symptom, there's a corresponding homeopathic product. And I think we had about 30 or so different homeopathic preparations, you know, common things like Gelsenium and Nux Vomica and Arnica and, you know, there's all these different Latin names, but it's essentially extracts from common plants. And once you learn the dictionary vocabulary, it's very easy to see. Oh, yeah, today my daughter is having a Pulsatilla crying spell. And we just reach in, give her three little pellets of Pulsatilla, crying spell is over, and things are fine. Or I remember the kid falling on the floor and and mother would bend over and say, okay, honey, is this an Arnica alley or is this like a little kiss alley? It's just the funniest thing. The kid would announce, no, this is just a kiss alley. Kiss it better, honey. But, you know, when they bash something, like, you know, things that would normally leave a bruise or break the skin, that's an Arnica alley. So when you give the child the Arnica, it just stops the swelling, stops the spilling of the blood, stops the contusion from developing. It's just phenomenal what happens in the body. So, of course, for somebody as involved in their child care as a parent of an autistic child will be, learning homeopathy is not going to be a big challenge, believe me.
Well, and the good thing about homeopathy is that if you did it wrong, it has no, I mean, it's just water with the vibration of whatever's in it. So you could take the, you know, the homeopathic medicine for the wrong thing. I use the word medicine in quotes. And it's not going to have a negative impact on you or your children or anybody else, right?
That's correct. That's the beauty of it. If you mess up, the only downside is that you don't get the relief you were hoping. And that's actually what you do. You wait for the response. If in within 10 minutes you haven't got the correct response, you try something else.
Yeah.
And also, if you do get the right response, like let's just say that one of the things that can develop is hysterics. You know, kids can get into a hysterical fit. And so you can have the mineral salt that is for hysteria. It's known as the number 6. Don't know why they named it that, but anyway, you can have number 6. You give it to the child, and you know, they calm down. But say in 10 minutes they start coming up again. You know, whatever they start doing. So whimpering and just starting to wind up again. Well, you hit them again with the another pill, and after half an hour, it's all gone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean the pills. I mean the emotional upset. But the beautiful thing about it is so inexpensive. You know, a $10 tube of the homeopathy is probably a 6-month supply of even a very active usage. No wonder it's not being promoted all over television and radio, huh?
That's right. Why spend $10 when you can spend $10,000
or $200? I'm thinking Aleve or Tylenol. I mean, I keep seeing ads for Aleve all over television, and you know, there's your painkiller. It's supposed to deal with your aches, pains, and everything. I don't see as for homeopathy, sadly.
No. So, Martin, in the last couple steps, we were talking about the digestive system, how we had to make sure that we improve the person's digestion or the child's digestion, because if you're getting food and nutrients into the stomach, but it's not getting into the rest of the body, what's the point? And then we have to make sure that the bowels are moving we're able to move things kind of through, and that's really important. And when you're not doing those things, of course, it becomes wonderful growing fields for viruses and parasites and other types of toxic bacteria. So, you know, we've talked about treating that. What would be the next step after that?
Well, now that we have stopped digging the hole, now we can start filling it back in, which in this case, actually, it's upside down, but detoxification is the next logical step. Now that we have a decent input of good nutrients and we have repaired the digestive system to the point where we have continuous supply of good nutrition, we can start focusing on removing the toxins. And the toxins are actually the primary problem of what is causing the autism itself. So we have three types of toxins. You know, the ones that are related to the oxidations or oxidative stress, ones that are related to metabolic stress, and finally those that are, you know, the systemic problems. So the first bits, you know, we're going back to the amino acids. They will help us rebuild the tissues. They will help us repair the damaged villi in the small intestine, and they will help us repair whatever else needs repairing. So the same amino acids that we mentioned earlier would be part of the detoxification. General drainage, general detox, you know, we can use all kinds of herbs or homeopathics or whatever. Those, we can provide that education as we go. That needs to be custom tailored to the person's needs, because people are different, and so some nutrients will work better than others.
To pull out the things that need to be pulled out of the body?
Well, you know, we're talking oxidative stress, which is rapidly aging the body, so we need to have vitamin C in good supply, vitamin B, the whole group in good supply, the essential fatty acids, and all of that. You know, we need to make sure, for instance, you might need to do some drainage. You know, maybe there's some fluid retention, so how are you going to do that? You know, there are three or four ways to do that, and one of them, for instance, being alkalizing baths. So you could soak your child in baths with magnesium crystals and baking soda.
Right.
Or we have these mineral supplements that will help alkalize the terrain, which then will by itself push out the toxins and help balance the internal fluids. However, onto the real thing. And that is the heavy metals. The heavy metal is the primary cause of all of this mess. And it's the most difficult to get rid of, but it's out there. The tools exist. There are natural means, and there are not so natural means. You can decide to get quite radical, and you can find yourself a naturopath that will practice metal chelation with something like EDTA. And you could do that either through suppositories, or you can do that through intravenous. So you could, you know, torture your kid with having to sit still for 2 hours or 3 hours at a time with an IV drip in his arm as they drip EDTA in, and it binds the metals and drags it out. But there are much less aggressive ways to do that. In the natural world, it is chlorella, especially the cracked cell paranoidosa or enzyme-treated paranoidosa. It's a variety of chlorella that has the hard outer shell. There are two types, soft shell and hard shell chlorella. Somehow the hard shell chlorella binds the heavy metals into the shell, into the skin's cellular wrappings. Another good one is cilantro. That's been shown to work really well, so you can see if you can make the kid like salsa.
Right, get him some cilantro that way.
Yeah, or you can start cooking Mexican cilantro meals or whatever. But what we know works really, really well is called zeolite. Zeolite is an amazing product. It's a volcanic mineral. The ones that we use for human treatment is called clinoptilolite. It has a lattice structure, meaning, well, let me give you an analogy. It behaves a lot like a sponge. If you visualize a sponge, you can put it in a bucket, squeeze it out, and that essentially wrings out all of the content that's in it. And when you let go, the sponge expands and draws into itself all liquids including the dirt that's in the bucket, or including the dirt that's wherever it is that you're trying to absorb. So when you squeeze it elsewhere, the dirt comes out of the sponge and you can use it again. In the case of zeolite, it acts by means of electropositive, electronegative polarities. In your body, things that are electronegative are friendly, things that are electropositive are unfriendly. They're oxidating, they're damaging, they're just wrecking things terribly. Zeolite has the ability to maintain external electronegative appearance, so it's never threatening to the body. And yet it is a bunch of little these cavities that are also electronegative that will suck in, attract, and hold electropositive debris. Electropositive as in mercury, cadmium, lead, herbicides, pesticides, viruses, all kinds of debris. So all of this will get trapped into the zeolite. It's the easiest thing to administer. You get this bottle with an eyedropper with some fluid in it, and you add 1, 2, or 3, depending on the intensity you need, drops of this fluid to the drinking water of your kin. That's it.
Okay, Martin, I have to say this because I know everybody listening to this is thinking the same thing. Okay, zeolite, it sounds great, but we know without a shadow of a doubt that it is the most foul-tasting thing in the world. That's
get out of here.
Yeah, like we know that there's no way our little child is going to be able to drink a glass with even a drop of this stuff in it because they're just going to be going like, oh, it tastes terrible.
Scott, what are you smoking?
What, I'm wrong? Come on.
Yes, you're wrong.
It can't be this
totally
good
wrong.
And not no. taste terrible.
No, it's tasteless, colorless. Well, actually, we have it mixed with some stuff, so it's brown colored, but you won't notice a drop in a glass of water, I promise.
You mean we could even fool them by just saying, drink this water, they would drink it, they wouldn't even know that it was in there?
Yeah, I'll bet you $100 to test you, to see if you can tell me whether there was or was not a drop of zeolite in that glass of water.
As I'm sure you're well aware, I have had it,
taste?
I've tried it, and it is absolutely, totally tasteless. in fact, you cannot tell the difference in any way, shape, or form, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
I consider myself a connoisseur of water, having drunk it all over the world. But I was listening to you, and I thought, you know, this just sounds like too good. And, of course, popped right into my head, Buckley's,
yeah, okay.
You know.
Yeah, Buckley's. Now, honestly, this is so easy, it's not funny. But I want to tell you, I mean, I was heavily toxic myself, right? So when I first was introduced to zeolite, I started on it immediately. And the stuff that I was peeing out was spectacular. I mean, the colors and the smells, the aroma of stuff that was leaving me was unbelievable. I didn't know that I had such amazing stuff hiding inside of me.
And was this something that took like a couple hours, couple days, couple weeks? What?
Well, I think the first week was the colorful, intense stuff. It kind of diminished fairly quickly. What was interesting for me is that, of course, I suffered from chronic fatigue as the result of my mercury poisoning. So, my liver is fairly shot, or was damaged quite a bit. So when I overdo it, whether it's exercise or not eating right or staying up late or whatever, I know about it. You know, like my energy stores or reserves are not big.
Right.
So I went... oh, well, heck, I'm clean, right? So I started with 5 drops in every glass of water. By afternoon of the first day, I was asleep on the sofa by 3:30 in the afternoon. My liver completely overwhelmed with the toxic sludge. No reserves left for me, anything other than sleeping. So what I would recommend, of course, when you first get into it, 1 drop first thing in the morning, see how the kid's doing. If he's doing okay by 4 o'clock, give him 1 more drop. If he's okay by morning, repeats. On the second day, maybe third day, do 2 drops, and then maybe 3 drops. At some point, I pushed it all the way to 15 drops to every glass just to speed up the detoxification.
Wow, cool.
You can sort of see how fast you can push it, because also if the tiger is just bugging you too much, just give him a heavy hit of zeolite, he'll sleep like a puppy.
Good point. But, and I think you make a really valid point. Actually, when you talk about starting slow and working your way up, and I think that, you know, there's no reason to overdo it, because we need to test, because we need to take responsibility for ourselves. Like, we're used to the doctor saying, oh, take, you know, 2 aspirin, call me in the morning. Well, you know, maybe you should only have taken 1, or maybe you really needed 3, and you have to kind of make these decisions yourself, right? You have to take responsibility.
Oh, yes.
And be aware of what's going on. Like you said, you know, wow, like all of a sudden I'm zonked out on the couch because I've just overwhelmed my liver and with all the toxicity. Okay, you know, you've learned something, right? Pull back.
That's right.
Don't force it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely be observant. You know, watch for the responses you're getting and adjust your behavior accordingly.
Right.
So one other thing I would like to suggest is essentially physical things. Sweating is one of the most natural ways of getting toxins out of the body. So as soon as you can, if your kid is not into activities like wrestling or soccer or something that's going to just totally make you sweaty, then put him either in a very hot bath, you know, as warm as you can stand it, or into a sauna. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how easy it is to get into a sauna with your kid, but maybe you could, if you can afford a sauna in the house, you know, it's good for you, for the adult. If your kid is toxic, you're toxic. So sweat it out, you know, push it out the pores. It's a really good way of doing it. Or if, well, you know, good old hot yoga, that helps you push a lot of sweat out of your body. It's amazing what I have. I think it's about a quart and a half that you usually put out in a single 1.5 hour session.
Well, it's whatever it takes to really soak a towel good, plus whatever evaporates in the hour and a half.
Yeah. So that's one of the great detoxifying methods. You know, the Nordic people have come up with it, especially for their winters, right? Because mm-hmm. normally you don't sweat up in the winter, so that's why the sauna, or sauna, as the Finnish would call it, was developed up there.
Right, right. And I think that's important, you know. You've got to do something that's, you know, gets the blood moving, gets the sweat going. We've talked often about the rebounders and how that gets the lymphatic system moving and everything else.
Yes, and jumping. Absolutely.
Jumping.
Yeah, that's an excellent point that you're making. We need to prevent stagnation or bring in circulation, and exercise is the perfect thing. You usually don't need to encourage young boys to jump.
No, that's right.
So if you don't want to have your beds wrecked, a mini trampoline, a rebounder, is a fantastic investment.
Yeah.
And of course, it'll prevent lymphatic stagnation in the adult, which, I don't know, let's describe what lymphatic stagnation looks like on an adult woman. Cellulite, heavy hips, enlarged waistline.
Wow, so that, you just made the best
breath
case for jumping up and down I've ever heard.
Yeah, bad breath and falling out hair. Signs of toxicity and stagnation.
There you go.
Okay, mommy. So if you don't have a rebounder yet, get one.
That's right. So when we're looking at autism and an action plan and what we can do and moving forward, you know, really it's educating yourself first and foremost. Then it's looking at the diet and the environment and cleaning them both up, because they're both toxic, no doubt about that. Then you're looking into correcting any nutritional deficiencies, making sure you got the minerals, fish oils, the folate, the amino acids, and then you want to start detoxifying and making sure that, first of all, that the digestive system works. You've got your bowels, your autistic person's bowels are moving properly. Then you need to look at, okay, we got to make sure we've got the viruses out of the way, we're detoxing the body, and the biggest part of detoxing is getting rid of the heavy metals.
Right. So when you get that handled, and believe me, this can be handled inside of 6 to 9 months, you will see magnificent changes. I mean, I have seen people get on the amino acids, which was in our step 3 or 4, and we have seen a kid go from curled up in the corner of his room whimpering to in his classroom with his hand out inside of 2 weeks.
Wow.
I kid you not. I remember this one call was coming to me from an older lady. She says, I'm calling to order a dozen of these amino acids, but I want them drop shipped to my son's address. So I'm saying, what's up with that? She says, well, my grandson called. Granny, you know, my dad cannot afford to buy this, but would you please buy us the smart pills? They make me so much smarter at school.
Wow.
And this was, I asked her, how old is this kid? And he was like 10 years old.
Gee. So there's hope. I guess that's really the message that we're bringing.
There's much more than that. There's, you can correct most of it. And it's criminal that it's not being talked about. You know, we have, I don't know if I can find it again. I used to find it on YouTube where Jenny McCarthy and Jim Carrey were being interviewed by what's the host, Larry King. They did such a wonderful job. Jenny McCarthy had an autistic son.
Oh yes.
And the past tense is intentional. He was autistic, and it isn't anymore. She now has a normal kid.
Wow.
And she was sharing with the world what she found. And she was blaming the aggressive vaccinations on most of his problems. And she says, I'm not anti-vaccination. I'm anti-insane vaccination. Because, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, kids used to get 6 or 7 vaccines. Now, yep. Now the schedule is like 38. It's just so aggressive. Pharmaceutical industry has developed all these products, and they need to sell them. So they keep intensifying the unloading of this stuff onto the kids.
Right.
And it has a tremendously awful downside. Now, not everybody's going to get sick. Many children's immune systems will handle the load. But those that don't, those that cave in, they cave in a most awful way. Now, if you want to see a cave-in, go back to last week's podcast, Ian's Way.
Yeah.
That is the, 40 days of utmost misery. Or if you don't cave in so quick, you may end up with just 40 years of dysfunction.
Yeah, and it's all about, regardless of whether you have a massive reaction, a very obvious reaction, or you don't have an obvious reaction, I think you do have a reaction, and the question always is, do you want to be functioning at your top, or do you want to just sort of be in mediocrity? And to me, doing this and detoxifying and getting those metals out and cleaning up the environment is all part of living to your fullest.
That's an excellent point, Scott. This entire system that we described, that should probably be done by every person living in an industrialized society.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all are toxic. Well, I'm feeling all topped out. How about you?
Yeah, you've been listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network. If you'd like to find out more information, our website is a wealth of content and articles on all sorts of topics, and in particular on autism. And we've got previous episodes of our podcast up there. You just have to click on podcast. We've got lots of up-to-date blog articles and a whole area of newsletters that we've written over the years. Lots of great information there for you. And if you really feel the need to actually talk to somebody, we answer the phone. And Martin, what would be the best number for anyone to call?
1-866-543-3388. Or call us, if you're calling internationally, 775-299-4661. The website is www.life-enthusiast.com. And we say that we are restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you for listening.